This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about all things edible, spreadable, pourable, horrible, adorable, with your host, me, Jesus Herbert Walker Christ. And
J. Jesus Herbert Walker Christ?
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
No, that was what I was going to use.
Ah, damn it. That's my name too.
His name is my name too, you bitch.
It all worked out in the end. How are you?
I'm great. I'm drinking a fucking Radler.
What the hell is that?
It's like it's a beer mixed with grapefruit juice that has like 2% alcohol. It's low ABV, baby.
Oh, that sounds good. I like a low ABV cocktail. I've realized that like I love the act of drinking because it just is like, it's kind of the same way I am with smoking. I love to just like do the thing, but I don't like love drinking necessarily, like being drunk.
Yeah, being drunk is, it's hard as you age.
It is.
And less and less fun.
The hangover.
Afterwards. Still fun when you're doing it during.
It's wonderful. Point.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's great. Yeah, I drank 2 bottles of wine last night with a friend. With a friend, so like just 1 bottle of wine, I guess. But I had a touch of a hangover this morning, and I was like, no, damn you, aging body.
Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Beelzebub. That is a cute dog name.
That is a cute dog. But I don't like dog names with too many syllables in them.
I was talking to...
And neither do the dogs.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. They hate it. I don't know if I mentioned this already on the show or in person, but when I went away with Becky and Adam, they were like, I was saying how I wanted to get a dog and we're like going through different names. I'm like, Bucatini, Fusilli, Tortellini. And then Adam's like, how about Chicken Parmesan?
No, it's not a dog's name.
I think Chicken Parmesan is the best dog name I've heard except for Eggplant Parmesan.
I like to name dogs after humans, famously. So
yes. Like what?
Like Terry.
Perfect.
Richard. Or like Brian.
The dog on Family Guy.
Oh, right. From Family Guy. Or like, yeah, Steven. This is my dog, Steven.
Or like Barbara.
This is my dog, Ethel.
Keith.
This is my dog, Paul.
Dude. My dad had a dog named Bob, which I know isn't like a very uncommon dog name, but my dad and him had the most sweet and also hilarious relationship. Like it was just, Bob was like the friendliest dog. He was like a giant yellow lab mix. And he just wanted pets all the time. And my dad was like pretty much immobile to an extent. And Bob would just come over to him and put his snout in there. My dad would just go, Bob, 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 Bob. And then you'd just be screaming Bob louder and louder, like all the time until finally he'd be like, get the fuck out of here, Bob. And then Bob would go run away. And then he'd come back.
His name is Bob.
I know.
Or Bob. Like Robert.
Yeah, his full name was Robert. Yeah. Robert Pattinson.
This is my dog, Larry. David.
I mean, I've said before that I think it's funny to like name a dog something like really contentious, like Harvey Weinstein.
Oh my God. Harvey's a good dog name though.
It is. But Weinstein is a bad last name if your first name is Harvey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. What about like Gwyneth as a dog name?
Or just like Reese Witherspoon.
I feel like that is, well, I know somebody who named their dog Martha Stewart.
And that's great.
It's Ben Affleck's ex-wife, Jennifer Garner, actually.
Oh, I thought you were saying that Martha Stewart was Ben Affleck's ex-wife. And I was like, news alert, this is going to be a big Ben Affleck day for us. We're starting out like this.
Yeah, Ben Affleck has left Jennifer Lopez for 800-year-old former convict Martha Stewart.
Former prisoner. Former enemy of the state, Martha Herbert Walker Stewart, Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah.
What are you doing other than podcasting? How's your day going? Have you done anything interesting?
No, right now I'm not doing anything else. I'm just doing this.
You're only doing this. I got it. I see. I'm learning piano.
What did I cleaned the house. Because, you know, in my mansion, mm-hmm. it's wood floors. So it's just sure. like, I don't know. I guess I'm just like shedding hair. I think I'm going bald because there's just like hair everywhere. Like, there's so much hair. When I take a shower and wash my hair, it gets all over my hands and it gets stuck in my fashion bracelets that I shower in. And oh. then, but then there's also a lot of hair like in my room in the corners, like collecting dust and like becoming part of a spider web. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, my hair is just like flying around.
Oh no, how horrible. I mean, my first thought, the first question I should say that I have for you, how's the pubic hair also falling out or just the head hair?
It seems to be just head hair because it's like long blonde hair. But it's like then, but my room, you know, I always have a fan on and I always have the air conditioning on because it's the winter or the winter. It's the summer.
Maybe all the wind is blowing your hair off.
I guess the power of my window unit is blowing all of my hair off when I sleep. That's definitely what's happening.
Remember when Jenny, this isn't funny, but when our friend Jenny lost her hair, all her hair started falling out in clumps because she had like scarlet fever.
Well, she had a traumatic medical event, yeah, where her body basically decided that she was dead. So that's, yeah, it's a common thing that happens if you have a trauma like that.
I hope she's not listening. I'm sure she's not, as we like laugh about her scarlet fever. All right.
I wasn't laughing.
So, yeah, I mean, it is not a laughing matter. Well, since you asked, I'm having a wonderful day. It's hot and sweaty here in the Northeast.
You didn't even give me an opportunity to ask. Also, we finally had a little cool off. I went, and got my friend's above ground pool, Kelly, shout out to Kelly, our listener, on Sunday. And it was like 92 degrees outside. It was very unpleasant. And so we got in the pool, we had some drinks, I made Aperol spritzes for everyone. It's very cute. I made salsa. I did the same where she gave me a bunch of tomatoes and jalapenos from her garden. And I was like, well, if I don't do something with these right away, I'm gonna like never do anything with them. So I just made them into salsa and then brought them back over to her house, which I don't know if like Miss Manners would approve of that, but everyone loved the salsa. Good. It was a hit.
That's great. And I'm assuming you didn't make it chunky because I know how you feel about chunks of tomatoes. Well, you do not like them.
The Nutribullet that I have, my parents got me for Christmas, like made it into almost like baby. It was almost like too smooth. I was like,
yeah, that will get all the chunks out of your salsa. Sure. Yeah. Right quick.
Yes, it will. So I was like, wow, chill out. But also weirdly, there was like one tomato chunk that just like wouldn't go down and blend. So then I'd like to fish it out. But the rest of the salsa was chef's kiss.
Yum. I do love salsa. I like a chunky salsa, a thick salsa, really any kind will do for me because I'm a tomato lover. I would eat a tomato like an apple, which I know is sacrilegious in your eyes, but
I just don't know why you would do that. An out of season tomato, like from the bodega?
No, not that. I mean, that would be more crunchy like an apple. No, like a delicious heirloom tomato in the midst of summer.
Oh, I was telling someone, I guess it's the end of the season now, but my friend's strawberries are re-blooming because it's so hot out. So,
oh, wow. That's wild.
But I like to have a big peak season tomato sliced on a bagel with cream cheese. So good.
Is so good. Yeah, I agree. Very that good. Is a delicious treat.
And me, a tomato hitter. That's, I'll eat that. And a BLT, of course.
Of course, of course, of course. I have some groundbreaking news to tell you. I kind of mentioned it yesterday when we were chatting, but I will repeat it for our listener.
Well, I'm so excited because I think what you're about to tell me is that you watched Geely.
Yes. Me and my babe, Travis, watched Geely. It was his idea. I thought it was very sweet.
So is Tony Soprano in it?
I wouldn't know because it was so bad that we had to stop watching it. It wasn't even like good bad. We're like, it was like, haha, this is like so funny. It was like deeply unwatchable.
How could you guys not make it? You guys just don't have a sense of humor then.
Yeah, we were both like, this is not good. No, we just like... We both were like trying, and he was like,
you guys are like the critics guys for the Muppets.
Yes, exactly. Like, one star, this sucks. And we were both just like, we aged like 90 years. No, it was just so like, it was just so bad. I don't even know how to describe it.
Give me an example of like, what was that? Well, like, acting is bad, right?
Yes. Everyone's acting is bad. At one point, this is towards where we turned it off. He's like trying to like tell her how it is. And he's like, I'm the fucking baddest, strongest, most tough fucking Pumbaa, motherfucking scary, awesome, big dicked, fucking hairy bald person you've ever fucking seen, like that kind of thing. And we were just like, and then like, like they're in bed together, but she's like, I'm a lesbian.
Right, she's a lesbian. That's what I was thinking. So that's why. So I think James Gandolfini is in The Mexican.
Yes, that must be it. I didn't see him. We only watched half of it, but he hadn't made an appearance. You know who is, unfortunately, in Julie? And I say unfortunately for him because he's an American treasure.
Steve Zahn?
Yes, Steve Zahn. No, look, I love me some Zahn meat.
Okay, let me think of some other American treasures.
Okay, great.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, the band.
nope. Yes, again.
I don't know. Here's your tone.
Christopher Herbert Walker Walken. Jingle Iris.
Christopher Walken is, well, who cares? He's getting paid.
I know. He was just like, well, I can't do it, Chris. I can, but not on command. So stop asking. Okay. But he was in it. It really fucking blew. It was terrible.
So what is the premise? She's a lesbian serial killer?
She's a lesbian with very low riding pants. Oh, he is an Italian.
Do you see her thong, like a whale tail?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. He's Italian. She is a lesbian. Comedy ensues, but not really.
It's a comedy?
I don't know. They're both like maybe like hitmen or something.
They're supposed to be like they murder people, I thought.
Yeah.
How far did you get into the movie?
I don't know, 25 minutes. We had to turn it off. It was painful. It was going to ruin our relationship. I was like, if we keep watching this, we're going to jinx ourselves.
No, I can watch this. I have way more stamina than you guys.
Okay, I dare you to watch it. And let's make that a listener challenge, listener. You heard that? Let's all do like a book club, but with Geely or Jiggly, as I prefer. Oh, and also another funny thing. I went to go get some pasta. I just like randomly grabbed like a bag of pasta, which I never would even think of doing, but I was like doing some grocery shopping at Trader Joe's and I looked up and they had a bag and it said it was Campagnelli, but it was called Geely, G-I-G-L-I or Jiggly. And I bought it.
This is Italian words though. They all, you know,
just as a joke. I was like, this is weird. Well, I don't recommend it. It was not very good.
You bought pasta as a joke.
I bought joke pasta, which is just a example of my disgusting privilege. I'll eat it.
Okay, great.
I'll eat it.
Great.
I just laughed at it and burned it.
You better fucking eat it.
you better fucking eat that, Jiggly. I'll eat it.
Okay, eat it. Jesus.
I'll eat it.
So speaking of our listener, I was brought to my attention last week that in the previous episode, I said that Fat Joe is dead or maybe he's dead or something along those lines, but he's not. He's alive.
You were thinking a big pun.
Yes, probably. Yeah. So Fat Joe, I apologize to you. I feel like Fat Joe is canceled though for something, right? Is he like not okay?
Well, he lost weight, so technically now he's Skinny Joe. He like or just regular Joe.
Jenny Craig or something. And
now he's Joe Biden.
Fat Joe Biden.
Fat Joe Biden.
Now that's a dog name for sure.
Oh my God, your dog is so wrinkly. What's its name? Oh, this is Fat Joe Biden.
Fat Joe Biden. He's a Sharpe.
I'm going to pee. In my pants. Okay, no, well, yeah, he's alive.
He is alive, which you did not mention to me when I told you that he was dead in the last episode.
I know, so. I missed it. Somebody, Travis, brought that to my attention too.
Thanks for nothing. So here's our update for Ben and Jen, everyone. Mm-hmm. You guys ready for this?
Sure.
So the news was all Twitter, because Ben said that he was in awe of J-Lo and her global impact.
Wow. Didn't hear about that.
So I was like, what does he even fucking mean? Like, is he talking about like her denim line? Like, what is her global impact?
It's the ass heard around the world.
Is it because she sells albums in like multiple countries? I just like don't understand what he's in awe of. I mean, I get that J-Lo is like super famous and globally known.
I think what he's talking about is that they recently spent time in Italy and then they went back to New York.
And that is the global impact that he's referring to. That exactly. She had a yacht. Or that exactly. She could rent a yacht. Mm-hmm. It's never clear to me if she actually had a yacht of her own or if she was just renting one. Or, as famous people often do, just borrow each other's yachts.
Gross.
The other thing that I learned is that...
global impact.
They are... Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are not following each other on Instagram.
Why?
From TMZ.
Why aren't they?
Well, I would imagine because they don't run their own accounts, right? But then wouldn't the teen angels who do run their accounts want them to follow each other? Like,
yeah, and you also think.
Who at freaking TMZ had to comb through their thousands and thousands of followers to find out whether or not they follow each other? I guess you can search now.
Yeah, I think you can search. I'm okay. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I just want to picture someone getting paid to comb through J-Lo's thousands and thousands of followers.
Like millions, dude. She's like 100 million.
Oh, sorry, J-Lo. You have a global impact. You have millions of followers.
Don't forget about the impact, Nicole. It's global. And we're all very impressed.
So her bajillions and jillions of followers.
Her jillions.
Jillions. To see if maybe Ben Affleck had like a secret account or something that was following her on that, like Geely.com or whatever.
Dude, I actually wondered when I was watching Geely, I was like, do they ever talk about this, that they did this, or do they just pretend like it didn't happen? Or now are they like, oh yeah, remember that's like when we were on Geely? Like,
well, you know what I mean? I mean, how long, what year was that movie even made? Like 2012?
I think it was like 20 years ago.
20 years ago? I think it was like 2000?
In the year 2000. Yes. I think. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I stopped watching it. I didn't bother to see when it was made. But definitely in the early aughts, for sure. Ben Affleck looks like a baby.
When the whole outfit with the low-rise jeans was... Did she have, like, a white belt on at any point?
Probably, like, later in the film. I mean, these jeans were so low. I was just like, why did we decide? Like, that's the most... and she has a obviously crazy good body. It's still, like, unflattering to wear jeans that low.
Yeah, but if you wear jeans that low with a tiny suede vest, that's cute.
A tiny suede vest.
And a newsboy hat. I feel like that's a J-Lo outfit from that movie.
Yeah. Yes, a page boy cap. Papers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of my favorite things to do are to go back and look at the days of the super low jeans and the micro mini skirts, like mm-hmm. Tara Reid and Paris Hilton wearing basically a piece of tape around their vagina, and that was supposed to be a skirt.
Yeah. One time when I was in high school, I mean, obviously this was the early 2000s. I like wore a saran wrap skirt.
Oh my God.
So sweaty.
Your parents let you leave the house with that?
I had no supervision. Truly. Like my mom just like hated me. She was just like, refused to even look at me. So that's how I got away with it.
Also, yeah, I wore saran wrap. Have you seen Fried Green Tomatoes?
Of course. I was just thinking of Iggy Thurgood.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the name of the movie. I love that movie.
There's a scene where Kathy Bates tries to like seduce her husband by showing right. up at the door wearing only cellophane, but she doesn't actually do it, but she threatens to do it.
She does threaten it. I love that movie. It's kind of unfortunately very similar to A River Runs Through It, which is very boring. It's kind of the like,
I don't think it's way more interesting than River Runs Through.
It's a little bit better, but they're similar. Like if you have to lump all the world's movies together in clumps, it would be in the same clump.
Well, I mean, it's like famously like a lesbian movie, you know, like those two were like in love with each other.
That's true. That is true.
It's as close as Hollywood can get to showing two women in a relationship.
Right. Because every single movie about like Hollywood movie about lesbians has to take place in like another time.
Yeah, right, exactly. They have to be in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Painting each other or whatever.
Exactly. Which was the last movie I saw before quarantine. I like, everything was going like nuts. Everyone's like, stay home. And I was like, I have to just see you because you know how much I love to go to the movies. I was like, I have to see just one last movie. And there's like nothing playing except for A Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
You're like, this woman's on fire.
So I was like, I guess I'll risk my entire life to see A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And there's like some old man like hacking away in the movie theater.
Oh, no. Was it boring? I never saw that.
It was fine. It was fine.
My last COVID movie was The Invisible Man. And that was fun. Like a romp.
I watched that on a plane over the summer. And it was extremely stressful because there was a lot of turbulence and like the movie in general is stressful. And the fact that like Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist was stressing me out because like, she seemed so like cool. And like,
she married Fred Armisen for like 1 year only.
No, the whole thing. Anyway. Then,
yeah. So she said the greatest impersonation that he's ever done is impersonating a normal person. And we're like, whoa, what do you mean by that?
He's the real invisible man. Am I right?
Yeah, he is. And then right after that, he started dating that other, the super young SNL cast star, the daughter of Cabin Boy guy.
Of who? Captain Kirk?
No, Cabin Boy. The who's the
Chris
actor?
Elliott?
Yeah, Chris Elliott's daughter. Fred Armisen started dating her right after he left.
Who's Chris Elliott's daughter?
Abby Elliott. She was on SNL for a couple of years.
Oh my God. You know what? People used to say that she was my celebrity doppelganger.
Yeah.
Is she that true?
She has red hair. I don't know. She's cute. She just, she did a really good Angelina Jolie impersonation. So that's kind of like what they made her do all the time.
Oh my God. How very interesting.
Anyway, I don't know how we even got here. Let's swerve back to the middle of our topic today.
Okay, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'm going to go first. Okay, first, great. I want everyone to know that Zara tried to force us to do chef's clothing as a topic this week.
Well, I thought it was funny. I wanted to talk about big, tall chef's hats and why we wear them.
And then what would I talk about? There is no other chef's clothing.
Apron, I guess?
Yeah. So everyone would have been riveted by my apron coverage. So right, I forced her ahead to do foods indigenous to our homes. And so that is why I'm going to do the most famous food indigenous to Indiana, swordfish. Just kidding. That's embarrassing.
No, I switched my topic. I have a surprise for you.
What?
Swordfish is mad boring. It has a long nose. It looks like a sword. That's basically all you need to know.
Interesting. So I decided to do the pawpaw, which is a fruit that probably you don't know about, but this was recommended by one of my coworkers / friends, Lauren. If you're listening, if you finally decided to listen to the podcast, thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. I want to quickly interject before you start and say that Breton, when he was co-hosting the show, wanted to do the topic of pawpaw all the time.
And really?
Yes. He was so interested in pawpaw. I thought maybe he had a pawpaw addiction or problem or something.
Well, I would tell you that if you guys had actually done it, you wouldn't be able to find a lot. So I only have 30 seconds of content here. But so pawpaw is a tropical fruit, but it's native to the United States. It's been around basically forever. The first documentation we have of it when those fucking dick Europeans came over here and started documenting everything. And they're like, look at these. But they were cultivated by indigenous people here in the U.S. They are found, they're pretty much, I thought they were just here in Indiana, but that's not true. So they're, and that would be weird, I guess, because we have the similar climate to all of the East Coast. So they're found pretty much in all the eastern states, as far south as Florida, as far west as Indiana and Missouri, and as far north as Ontario, Canada.
Wow.
Thomas Jefferson is a great dog name.
Good one.
I mean, not really, though, because he sucks. But so Thomas Jefferson, this was his favorite fruit. So he planted a grove at Monticello, which I have to assume is where he lived. But I didn't look that up.
It was.
There's also a Monticello, Indiana. Coincidence? I think not.
Definitely.
George Washington also loved to eat them for dessert. Lewis and Clark, my favorite explorers, Lewis and Clark, probably also sucked and probably were not very nice to Sacagawea or whatever. But they were huge fans of it and they use it a lot in their journeys and they call it the custard apple.
Ew. What is it? I don't know if this is in your reporting, but what does it like taste like and look like?
So it looks similar to like a mango, but it's more green. Mm-hmm. And it grows on a tree. And then when you slice it in half, there's a bunch of seeds. It looks similar probably to like a papaya on the inside or a chamoya, you know, that other fruit?
Yes.
And it's custardy. It tastes like a banana. Wow. So what's interesting is that sort of is why it's called banana in many different vernaculars. So it has many nicknames, including the false banana, the Indiana banana, the Hoosier banana, the poor man's banana, the hillbilly mango, the Quaker delight, the prairie banana, the frost banana, the Michigan banana, and the hipster banana, which is a new iteration because people are now super into it if they're hipsters and they want to eat like super local fruit. So the the thing about it is that you can't find it in the store. So like it's a tropical fruit and it's mostly found in the wild. There are like a couple of orchards that grow them present day, but like it's very difficult to find. So you kind of just have to like know where they're growing and go get them. They also go bad really quickly, so you can't like ship them around. So that's kind of why it's never become a fruit that like we have in the grocery store and that we all know about. Like I didn't even know about this fruit until my friend recommended it.
Have you tried it?
I never have, no. But so it's the taste is described as a cross between a mango and a banana, a vanilla custard texture. So it's soft in the middle.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I think it's really good. It seems like.
And the name is adorable. Pawpaw? How cute.
It is very cute. So basically, because you can't find them in stores, food scientists have been trying to sort of breed like sturdier ones so that you can actually ship them around, put them in a grocery store. But I think it's kind of cool that they don't go to the grocery store.
Agreed.
And there's also this article in Vice magazine about this guy that gets like exotic foods and gives them to all the chefs in New York City. And one of the things that he gives them is pawpaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, basically there's a dude, my pawpaw dude like has an orchard of his own, but he won't tell me where it is. Cause it's like this exclusive like thing that nobody wants to give up the information about. but the other part of that Vice article is interesting because apparently if you eat the seeds of the pawpaw or if you eat unripe pawpaw, it's going to fuck with you digestively.
Pawpaw diarrhea.
The seeds and the unripe pawpaw can give you something called itchy asshole syndrome.
Is that the scientific name? That's the Latin. Yes.
Yeah, that's what they have right there.
Itchy pawpaw asshole?
No, itchy asshole syndrome.
Oh, itchy asshole syndrome. Got it.
IAS.
IASS.
So this guy was telling the story about how a chef in NYC was obsessed with pickling unripe pawpaw. And he was like, I tried to warn him about it, but I'm pretty sure all of his guests have been shitting themselves after eating this pickled unripe pawpaw that's been on his menu for 2 weeks. So,
oh my God. Do we know what restaurant it was?
No, I didn't look it up, but I'm like, let's go out and find out who it is. Cause it's pawpaw season right now. So it's, well, no, but the article is 5 years old. So who knows?
That's so interesting. You just see everyone kind of like squirming around in their chairs. You're like, you didn't unripe pawpaw.
You ate some pawpaw seeds, didn't you? So yeah, they are trying to breed them. They're becoming more popular at farmers markets and whatnot. So they are kind of like becoming like a hipster banana thing. Hipsters go there and pay lots of money to take them home and I guess eat them with a spoon. You have to eat with a spoon because it's so squishy.
Got it.
The nutrients in it are pretty high. It has lots of antioxidants and it's the same as a cranberry in terms of antioxidants.
Oh wow.
It's only about 80 calories for one pawpaw, and it also contains lots of iron, manganese, potassium, vitamin C, lots of great stuff.
How big is a pawpaw? Is it like a paw size?
It's like the size of a mango, I would say.
Oh, wow. That is large. I was thinking tiny. I thought it's an apricot.
Big. No, it's big.
Giant pawpaw.
Yeah. And then most of their... So basically what happened was Native Americans were cultivating it, eating them, living their dreams. And then we came here, the whites, and basically destroyed all of their, because it's their trees, like, and the way that they were growing them was kind of just like letting them just sort of grow, and then they were planting more trees, but it wasn't like farming.
Right.
But what we did is we came in and we destroyed all of that with actual farming, and then we killed all of the native peoples too. So then like basically they sort of almost died out essentially, and people forgot about them. But a lot of them just kept growing. So like there's parts of like this guy was telling this story about just like kayaking around in DC, and there's like this whole grove area where you can just go and grab pawpaws and eat them in your kayak. Oh,
that is so cool.
I know.
I love that.
But as you can imagine, this is why the hipsters are very into it now. Right. But so restaurants nowadays are doing things like making pawpaw pie, which is like a meringue pie, sort of like a banana cream pie. They make gelato. People are making beer with it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Athens County, Ohio has the longest running and the largest pawpaw festival. They call themselves the pawpaw capital of the world, but
oh my goodness, everyone just squirming around, itching their assholes in all of that part of Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's a rare food. The hipsters are into it, and you can get an itchy asshole, but it is a really cool, like, native American fruit that I didn't even know about. I mean, nobody still even knows about it because it's, you know, like I said, you can't buy it in the stores. And I kind of don't want them to, like, cultivate it so it's hardier to be able to move around in grocery stores, because I feel like it would lose its, like, the characteristic of it is that it's very soft. So, like, as soon as you take it off of the tree, and it, well, you know that it's ripe because it falls off the tree.
Okay.
And then it turns black like the next day. So you have to pretty much just eat them right away.
That's really cool. And like special that like you have to eat a fresh pawpaw.
I know. So I had not had one, but I hope to have one someday. And I think it's cool that it's native to America, not Indiana. But I do like that one of the nicknames is the Indiana banana. So that's cool.
It rhymes. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm, it sure does.
That's cute.
Yeah, so that's my little story about the pawpaw.
Please call into the show if you've had a pawpaw or an itchy asshole or both.
Or both, yeah.
If you're going to get an itchy asshole, I feel like you might as well get it from eating a delicious pawpaw.
Yeah, you don't want to get it from Olestra.
Yeah, no, it's not worth getting it from Olestra or, like, I don't know, yeast or anything else.
Gross.
Yeast. That's a dog name if I've ever heard one. Yeast the dog.
Now, pawpaw is a cute dog name.
That's adorable. It's a little on the nose, but it's cute. All right, cool. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with my indigenous food to my hometown of Long Island, or home area. Okay, bye. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
And guess what, folks? It happened. You thought it wouldn't, but you were wrong. We're back. Nicole, hello.
Hello. I can't wait to hear about your home area.
My home area, as everybody knows who listens to this show, is Long Island, New York. What is it? It's an island that is actually attached to Brooklyn and Queens also. So all you hipster banana eaters, we're in Long Island right now. Stop making fun of it. Okay, so I was going to, like Nicole mentioned, I was going to do swordfish, which is my favorite fish and is, you know, popular. They actually have Pacific swordfish too, but it's like a real, like if you were going to say like what fish is typically from Long Island, you'd say like swordfish. I mean, we also have tuna and like fluke and flounder and stuff, but sword's kind of the biggest one. Boring, nothing there. Swordfish, they roam alone through the sea. That's really all about.
They're like sharks?
Yeah, they're loners. Huh. They're lone fish wolves. I also considered corn. I considered half and half, not the cream, but the like Arnold Palmer, basically, which is extremely popular.
Oh, that would be fun. An indigenous food to your area.
An indigenous food. I considered grandma pizza, which was created in Long Island.
What's grandma pizza?
It's like a Sicilian, but thinner, and it has like cheese on the bottom, sauce on the top. Delicious. Yeah. I thought about bad wine, which we also have. Delis, diners, Gunther's Tap Room. But alas, I decided on something a little bit more fringe and a little bit more spooky.
Spooky? Don't season push.
spooky season, Nicole, is just around the corner. And in preparation for it, I'm going to be talking about something haunted.
Spooky season.
Spooky season is almost here. There are already candy corn at CVS, so I felt like it was appropriate.
It's true. CVS doesn't give a fuck.
They do not care. They have those fucking candy corns up in like June.
They probably had them out in December.
Yeah, that's true. They never go bad, or do they? Nobody knows. So there are many creepy, haunted, and spooky things from Long Island, such as everyone's favorite murder house, the Amityville Horror House, the Long Island serial killer.
I thought that Amityville is in New Jersey.
No, it is in Amityville, Long Island.
The house where they filmed the movies in Tom's River.
Right. The Long Island serial killer, Haunted Lake Ronkonkoma, the Kings Park Mental Asylum, which is very creepy and spooky and haunted. And of course, the Montauk Project and Camp Hero, and the spookiest thing from Long Island, Joey Buttafuoco.
Is that what we're going to talk about?
No, I wish. I looked up everything and I was like, nothing was quite funny enough until I decided to talk about the haunted restaurants of Long Island.
Okay. All right.
So I know this is a bit of a stretch.
That's spooky.
It's spooky and it is specific to Long Island. Now, I don't know if you knew this, Nicole, but Long Island has a huge concentration of not only haunted restaurants, but a lot of other haunted things and haunted bars.
Like haunted hayrides.
Yes. Haunted areas, haunted people, haunted personal homes. Remember when we went on a haunted hayride? That was fun.
They still email me all the time.
They do? Are they doing it again this year?
Yeah, they are.
Huh, interesting. I wonder.
Well, last year they still did it too, but you just had to drive your car through. I thought was a kind of a good way for them to still like stay in business.
Yeah, totally. That is a fun thing. What was that called? The Headless Horseman haunted hayride?
Yes.
In Kingston? That was so fun. On our romantic weekend away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I got my information today from the Huntington Patch, hauntedrooms.com, and the Long Island Press.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with, I'm just going to like go down a list of different haunted places in Long Island. So first we have Katie's Bar in Smithtown, which is like on every list. Apparently this place is definitely haunted. It's said to be haunted by a former bootlegger, Charlie Klein.
Oh, no, not him.
I know. Cousin of Kevin Klein.
Yeah, totally.
And Calvin Klein.
The black sheep of the family. And Calvin Klein.
And Kevin Klein. He's approximately 115 years old, and he's missing a few limbs. And he apparently knocks glasses off behind the bar. Some of the most common claims include seeing Charlie's apparition. Glasses falling off, shelves by unseen hands, doors swinging open and closed, unexplained noises, and more.
More.
And more. There's apparently other ghosts that haunt Katie's Bar, but Charlie is the most friendly of the resident spooks. I don't, like, know if that's okay to say, but I guess.
Like they're in the CIA.
Exactly. They're dead CIA agents. But there are said to be several different spirits hanging around. In 1909, a hotel that once stood in the same spot burned to the ground, killing one person who got trapped in the basement.
No.
So that's another spook, another dead CIA agent.
Thank God.
There's also claims that one spirit is a 16th century murderer.
Rude.
Yeah. And as for Charlie, they think that he was a bootlegger and bartender in the Prohibition era, and that he took his own life.
He was a mixologist.
Yes, he was a handlebarred mixologist who like couldn't commit to a relationship. A
spooky mixologist.
A spooky mixologist with attachment issues.
He's like, have you ever had a last word, Ben?
Have you ever heard of an aviation? Yes, Charlie. We have. Charlie, moving along,
up.
Buddy.
Charlie, shut up.
So,
no, stop talking about blood on the sand.
Yes, I've had a Rob Roy, you fucking pretentious asshole. Okay, the next one is actually haunted in more ways than one for me, because it's where my dad had his second wedding to my evil stepmother. And it used to be called the Old Whaler, but then it changed its name to the Harbor Mist. And that is where one of the most traumatic days of my life occurred. And many other people's, because it's haunted.
Did you get haunted?
I think I became haunted there. that's where I think I became infected with haunting.
That's where you got like your haunted look.
Yes, my spooky, evil, haunted look. This is where I got my haunted laugh from.
That's good. That was pretty good.
Thank you. So it was used as a brothel back in the whaling days, which, can you think of anything more fun, like a time you'd want to transport yourself to, than a brothel in a harbor town in the whaling days?
I don't know. I feel like there would be a lot of syphilis and like blubber everywhere.
Lots of blubber, but just to be a fly on the wall, so to see what that was actually like. It just sounds so like boisterous and also probably very problematic in more ways than one.
Yeah, the women probably weren't treated like super great, but maybe blubber was super moisturizing for their skin.
Ooh, like, blubber. I love the word blubber. Mm-hmm. That's a good dog name too, for a fat dog. Fat Joe Biden Blubberwitz. Okay. There was a woman who worked there for extra money. Her husband, a whaler, was away at sea. And one night, unexpectedly, he came back from a whaling mission.
Oh, no.
To find his wife working in the brothel. Is brothel like the preferred nomenclature? I don't know if that's okay.
Probably, since we're talking about the 1800s. Okay. But it was sex work, and sex work is work.
Sex work is most definitely work. He killed her and the man she was with.
Crap.
People say that those are the two spirits that haunt the restaurant. Later on in the 1960s, a woman died in the ladies' room there. No explanation as to why.
And she also haunts the restaurant?
She's the third ghost. So she's hanging out with these other two freaky deekies. And she's like, well, I'm from the 60s.
I know. They have nothing in common.
They have nothing in common.
I hope she taught them about like good music and stuff.
The next one is the Country House Restaurant in Stony Brook. Haunted by the ghost of Annette Williamson, who was murdered there when it was her family's home. Strange and unexplained occurrences are constantly happening there. When this one person was there, they noticed that there was flashes noticeable enough to make them turn around and ask, who's taking flash photographs? First of all, who speaks like that? Who's taking flash photographs?
Who in this room is taking a flash photograph?
apparently it happens a lot. And like a lot of patrons have seen her. One patron even painted a likeness of what he had seen. And the portrait now hangs in the restaurant. What was it? I guess. I like to think it was just a ghost in a sheet.
Okay, that's great. I love that.
Bob Wilmenstein, not to be confused with Ann Williamson, the owner of the restaurant, said that there has been a sound of footsteps and things dropping from the ceiling. Things have gone missing. That's probably because people steal cups and stuff from your restaurant, sir.
Yeah, totally.
People have heard music playing. Again,
it's a restaurant.
And when he first bought the restaurant, candles would inexplicably go out and then relight themselves, which is very spooky.
That is definitely spooky.
If that happened to me, I'd actually just be like so scared. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. What would you even do?
I would pee in my pants.
Yeah, I would pee too. And maybe even poop. The next is Dex American Restaurant in Rocky Point, located in the historic Halleck House, the oldest commercial building in Rocky Point, which dates back to the 1700s. There's been a lot of poltergeist activities.
No, poltergeist.
Poltergeist. Blood vomiting. No, I'm just kidding.
I love Poltergeist, by the way.
The movie Poltergeist is absolutely amazing.
Go into the light, Caroline.
Go towards it. Wasn't there like a lot of terrible things that happened on the set of Poltergeist?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like the Caroline herself died. Right. Another person died. Lots of death surrounds that movie.
We should like find a way to do that for... I feel like we've talked about
Poltergeist. I think. Yeah. We definitely did it.
Table settings were messed up in empty rooms. Objects flying off the shelves. Other disappearings. I guess a bunch of truffles probably disappeared from the walk-in and someone was like, it must be the ghost.
Right. No, sorry, boss. The ghost definitely was in there last night for sure.
All our toilet paper keeps going missing. It's definitely the ghost. Odd noises, enough to have kept several of the wait staff over the years on their toes. The rumor up to why it's haunted is that a brother and sister lived together for a while in the house and that the brother caught his sister in a feverish embrace with her lover. Chasing her into the attic, he chopped her to bits with a hatchet.
Oh, no.
The basement was reputed to have been a brothel as well. Perhaps the poltergeist was once a patron of the lady's basement, as one of the waitresses was even goosed by an invisible hand as she bent over to pull a bottle from a cooler. That's the owner of the restaurant hiding somewhere, just so you know. That is not a ghost. you're
wait, the it was the owner? No, it wasn't.
I'm just saying, you know. It could have, I think it was probably a ghost. Okay. Next up, Oyster Bay. That's where I went to elementary school. Raymond Hall in Oyster Bay gets its name from Raymond Hall in Northwark, England, a building in which was also famous for being haunted by the Brown Lady, which I guess was a famous haunted ghost in England. Never heard of her.
Did she like brown derbies?
Yeah, she was in the movie The Brown Bunny with Vincent Gallo.
Oh, okay.
She was actually dressed. That's where J-Lo got her outfit from the Met Gala from.
It was very brown, that's for sure.
So brown. Built in the middle of the 18th century, Raymond Hall served as home to the Townsend family, but was confiscated during the Revolutionary War and used as the headquarters of the Queen's Rangers, who were led by Colonel John Graves Simcoe. He fell in love with Sally Townsend. It's just how she came, it's just how she overheard him discussing a plot involving none other than Benedict Arnold with the British Major John Andre.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear to God. And then I'm talking about Benedict Arnold, not Benedict Cumberbatch, your favorite actor.
My favorite actor, yes.
Sally told her brother of the plot. As a result, Andre was hanged for treason, and now his spirit remains tied to Raymond Hall, as does the spirit of Simcoe and Sally Townsend, and making it one of the most haunted places in all of Long Island.
Huh. Okay.
That one was a little boring, but I wanted to throw it in. This
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I know. It's good. She's a narc, though.
She's a fucking narc, so that's why she didn't get to go to heaven, which is a real place. This one is really good. So this is called the Reed Ice Cream Grounds, which I've never heard of, but it's in Blue Point, which is unfortunately also where that young gal who just was found murdered
from
Blue Point.
Babby or whatever, right?
Yeah. So the ghost story linked to the Reed Ice Cream Grounds in Blue Point is an incredibly tragic one. It concerns a young woman who was found murdered there in 1966. The 20-year-old go-go dancer and part-time bank teller was found in a sump at Reed Ice Cream Grounds with her hands and feet bound and throat cut.
No.
Witnesses have said that the girls' spirits still linger there where the bodies were found. It's common to hear reports.
Wait, there's more than one body?
Yeah, there is the woman who is, that was the woman's body, not the women.
Okay.
It's common to hear reports of a young woman walking around the grounds of an abandoned ice cream factory and warehouse.
Oh my God. That's very scary.
That's very scary. There are also reports of people hearing screaming and crying in the area. This woman was not the only death in the area. Apparently a little boy also died in the 1970s when he broke into an old factory to play and ended up falling to his death while climbing up the old machinery.
Oh my God. Don't break into an old factory to play.
I know. It's really bad. That's like the beginning of, there's some horror movie that begins like that where they're like where they break into an old factory. What is that movie?
I think it's April Fool's.
No, it's like, then they're at a dance. It's not Carrie. It's like another movie with like high school.
No, it's a 70s. Yeah, it's like April Fool's or Prom Night, one of the two.
Prom Night. It's Prom Night. Yep. It's that's Prom Night. A Carrie movie. Prom Night. That's good. Okay. Next up, we have the Normandy Inn in Smithtown, on Smithtown Avenue in Bohemia. It was originally built as a residence for a Czech-born baron in the 1920s, according to the Long Island Business News, my favorite news source.
The most important business news.
The only business news you can trust when you want to learn about haunted spooky ghosts. It became a speakeasy in the 20s and the Hotel Chateau La Boheme before its last incarnation as a restaurant. The Gothic-style structure is on the corner of Smithtown and Lakeland, and it's been boarded up since the early aughts when Band-Aid skirts were popular. The Normandy Inn is rumored to be haunted by a woman named Maria, who is allegedly strangled to death in the upstairs back bedroom and heard walking around the hallways, knocking on visitors' doors when it was still a hotel. There have also been reports of cold spots and other apparitions, and the previous owner said that the long silent rooms and service bells would begin ringing without explanation. And once footprints appeared on a just shampooed rug in a locked bedroom.
Whoa, that's creepy.
I know. It's really scary. So those are the like haunted restaurants. But then since we have time, I wanted to mention one other extremely haunted place that's not a restaurant in Long Island. And it's like right where it's in Huntington, where my parents live. But it's like a little bit further away. It's kind of like where my mom grew up. And I wish I have to like ask her, I'll follow up next week and see if she knows anything about it. I was like, actually just going to say I'll ask my dad too, but he's a ghost. So I'm sure he would probably know more about it at this point.
Totally.
It's called Mount Misery.
Oh no.
Right. So Mount Misery, and there's Mount Misery Road. Mount Misery Road is a short road located within the West Hills Country Park in the town.
Is it really a mountain?
It's the highest part of Long Island. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. On the north shore of Long Island in Northwestern, Suffolk County, New York, in the USA, the road has developed a reputation for being a source of strange experiences and hauntings, and it's one of the top haunted roads in the world.
Cool.
Isn't that crazy? Right. We should drive there next time you come home.
Okay, I'll go down that road.
Okay, great. The road inspired hundreds of years of terror-filled tales together with the Sweet Hollow Road, which is like another road right by there. So the stories began with like native peoples, who considered the area cursed and completely off limits. They spoke of strange lights, which appeared on it, livestock disappearing on its slopes, and mysterious creatures spotted in the woods.
Mysterious creatures like chupacabras.
Yes. I thought at first it said serious creatures.
Some extremely serious creatures.
Very bookworms just reading Proust. Yes.
Don't laugh at all.
It's a long, narrow, winding road. It's dangerous, and there are a number of chilling urban legends. Okay, so in the 1700s, there was like a hospital. Some say it was like a mental hospital or a psychiatric hospital. Some say that it was just like a, not a solarium. What is the word that I'm thinking of? A sanitarium.
Sanitarium, yeah.
But
where you go buy your sanitary napkins.
Yes, exactly. A place to buy sanitary napkins. And that is why it was burned. So it burned down and then they rebuilt it and it burned down again.
What?
I know, like 5 years later. And so they say that like you can smell burning when you go there at night and hear like screams, which is very scary to think about.
I don't like that. No, sir. I don't like the screaming. The burning smell I could do, take or leave.
Screams and burning. So there's a grave that you see like up on the hill, like just one solo grave, and all it says is Mary on it. And it's said to be like a woman who got murdered.
Creepy.
I know, it's super creepy. another, and it doesn't have a date or anything like that.
No, Mary, you bitch.
I know, fucking Mary, man. Another
one. You have to make a will so that people don't just bury you in an unmarked, weirdly marked grave.
A weirdly marked grave, not even a last name. I mean, come on. Another woman was killed changing a tire on the northern state, which like runs right under there where the Mount Misery is, and is said to haunt the underpass. And if you like flick your lights on, like on and off 3 times, apparently you can see her.
Nope.
I know. And in 19.
What is it with ghosts though? In the number three, like what's the
deal? I know, like C-A-N-D-Y-M-A-N, which I cannot say because I'm scared that it's actually true.
Okay, fine.
In the 1970s, he can't spell, so it's fine if you spell it. In the 1970s, a group of teenagers hung themselves underneath the same underpass on the northern state.
Oh no, like the Lost Boys.
Exactly. And it said if you kind of like stand under there and like, you know, beep your horn or fucking whatever the hell, you'll still, like, you can see flashes of them hanging.
No, that's not true. And I don't like it either way.
So scary. Other ghostly figures supposedly hang around on Mount Misery and Sweet Hollow Road too. This one's fucked up and also ACAB. A police officer may pull you over and begin asking you a question. Pay close attention if he turns around, though. He may be missing the back of his skull.
No!
The victim of a shotgun blast that ended his life some time ago. So there's a fucking ghost cop.
So the cop is still fucking pulling people over even though he's dead?
It's like, chill. Take a chill pill, man.
Bro, like, can you just relax and not be a cop? For like, now you're dead.
Now you're
like,
dead. You
don't have a quota anymore, bro.
Exactly. He can't stop and he won't stop. When it rains, you may see a man walking along the side of the road. If you stop to pick him up, he may disappear. A classic vanishing hitchhiker. I've never heard of that before. I didn't know it was classic.
Well, it's better than the murdering hitchhiker, I guess.
Totally. Sometimes, though, you might see a different man strolling down the road, an unsavory-looking figure swinging a basket in his hand. If you look in the basket, you'll find a collection of heads, minus their bodies, supposedly sliced off the shoulder of people who have disappeared in the area.
How do I look in the basket? Am I supposed to, like, talk to this bro, like, with a bunch of heads in his basket?
You're like, what do you got there in the basket? Oh, heads. How interesting. Where did you get those?
Also, what kind of basket is even big enough for multiple heads?
That's exactly what I thought. Like, maybe a fucking laundry basket. But if you see a guy walking with a basket big enough to hold a bunch of heads, like, I don't think he would stop. Like, it's too strange.
No, you wouldn't stop. And also, you'd be like, wow, I'm impressed that he's balancing that basket. But, like, he's doing fine.
And he's fine. He doesn't need my help. What do you got in there, buddy? Pawpaws? No heads? Okay. I'm going.
Oh, I wish I hadn't stopped now. Crap. Are you going to murder me also?
Anyway, so that's like my story about, I know it was kind of a stretch, but it was like the most fun thing I could think of about, because like everything else is just so matter of fact. Oh, I was also thinking of doing Entenmann's, like the history of Entenmann's, because something that comes from Long Island, but it's like also not that interesting. They're like,
No scandals.
There was like a scandal with like lobster is obviously also a thing from Long Island. There's like a scandal with like these people who like got arrested for like, you know, overfishing or something. And I was like, none of this.
Cool.
Shady people from Long Island. How controversial.
Snooze
fest. So yeah, that's my story about haunted restaurants. We should go check some of them out. I've never been to any of those places except for
my
dad got married.
So fun. Yeah.
Oh my God. Imagine if he's now haunting that place also.
How would he have gotten there though? How do ghosts travel around and choose where they're supposed to? Cause like a lot of these people seem to be where they're dead at. Like they don't like travel to other places to then haunt them there.
Well, you're supposed to like, if somebody dies somewhere in like a house or something, you're supposed to like open the window to like let their spirit go out. So I think like as it goes, and I'm very much on the fence with ghosts. Like I've had some very unexplainable experiences myself, but also like, I'm just the kind of person in general about things that like are unprovable. Like I want to believe that there's stuff that's unexplainable and that I don't know, but I'm also like, I just don't believe one way or another.
Yeah. The truth is out there though.
It is. Exactly. You know what? X-Files is a good rewatch, huh?
Oh yeah. I just started rewatching. I can't fucking remember, but I'll tell you guys next week. Something old. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
You want to know what I like? I guess we should just talk about television shows because we don't really have like a top three. I recently started rewatching the best thing ever, just watching old Bob Ross episodes.
Oh yeah. And you know what I was doing during COVID was watching old, the Guess My Profession game or whatever. What's My Line?
Oh, whose line is it anyway?
No. What's My Line is like, oh, what's my line of work?
Oh, got it.
It's like from the 60s. It was on for years, but it's super fun. It's on YouTube.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I also started watching Lonesome Dove, which is like a mini series that was on television in 1989 that nobody seems to remember except for me.
You mentioned this a couple episodes ago. How is it?
Yeah, it's pretty boring, but I'm going to stick with it. a young Diane Lane is in it, and she's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Diane Lane is amazing. You know, today I was listening to David Chase on WTF, and I kind of thought I was going to be like annoyed by it because I've heard that David Chase is just like a notorious jerk.
Who is David Chase?
He's the creator of The Sopranos.
Oh, okay.
But it was like a very interesting episode. Like I really like, it was a great interview. It was wonderful. And he was talking about how one of his first writing jobs was writing on the Rockford Files.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that show?
Mm-hmm. We watched it with my mom.
Yeah. I've never seen it, but like it's in the zeitgeist. So I've like heard of it and I was like, I should watch this. Is it worth watching?
I would think so. I enjoyed it as a child. Man, why can't I remember what classic TV show I just started watching?
Cheers.
No.
Dinosaurs.
Don't do the list.
Do you remember that show, Dinosaurs? It was like a sitcom, but with like,
yeah,
for adults with dinosaurs.
I know the song that the baby would sing by heart.
You do? What is it? Sing it.
I can't sing on the podcast. It's a rule.
Just talk, sing it.
No.
Okay, fine.
But I also, do you remember when I sent you that like oral history of the greatest episode of Sopranos of all time, the Pines episode?
Yes. The Pine Barrens.
Pine Barrens. Yeah. Did you read that? It's so cool to read that.
No, I should read it. I don't think I ever did. That is a great episode, but I also, did you watch the Sopranos all the way through?
I didn't finish the last season, but I got almost all the way there.
So fucking good. The episode that I think is the most amazing is called White Caps. And it's like when Carmela like finally snaps about Tony cheating. And like they have it's like the best acting I've seen any time in my life ever.
You told me about this where they're fighting, right?
Yes. But like, I'm like, I don't understand how people acting get to that level of like intense emotion.
It's
like,
incredible.
It's
yeah.
So wild. Like Edie Falco and fucking everyone in that show, like, The Sopranos is one of those shows that was just like, oh, yeah, The Sopranos. And I think, like, generally, like, thinking about mafia things, like, it's, like, cast off as being, like, whatever. But, man, that fucking show is so funny and so smart and, like, it's just so, the acting is so good. Like, I don't think anything for me is ever compared to being as good as that show on TV.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I kind of always just want to rewatch that.
We know.
I love it. And also, they're always eating, like, delicious Italian-American food, like gabagool and manigot.
Manigot.
How's your brunchel?
Okay, but I gotta go.
All right, let's gabagool.
Let's gabagool. That's a good dog name.
Gabagool is a great dog name. Thank you. Gabagool. Gabadrool. Okay, love you guys.
Love you.
La pasta. Bye.
Farewell.
Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.